Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:02 a.m. on Thursday, November 21st, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosches. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I just have a couple of opening comments I'll make, and I think they'll probably be you might hear it more than once, possibly. But we had the Dakota Access Pipeline hearing last week, and I thought it went extremely well. It was a long hearing, 15 and a half hours, and someone asked me if that was the longest hearing on record for the commission, and I just could not answer that question, but certainly one of the longest, if not the longest. But I thought it was a really good day. Hats off to Chairman Mike Faith for setting a good tone coming in. Mike Faith is the chairman of Standing Rock. Also, Scott Davis, executive director of North Dakota Indian Affairs, was involved, and law enforcement, I thought, did a great job as well in just helping set a good tone and whatnot for the hearing. So I thought it was an extremely good day overall, and it was good to see all of the active participants there expressing their thoughts and sharing them with us, and that's a part of the process too. So I thought it was a really good day, and lastly, but probably I should have started here, staff did an incredible job of helping put it all together. So they were on top of it, and that's one of the reasons it went as smoothly as it did. So thanks to all of them. Commissioner Fedorchek?
Thank you, Brian. I would echo the praise to staff, to Chairman Faith, to Scott Davis, the law enforcement, all of those things. I would also just say there's been a couple things that I've noticed in letters to the editor or comments made after the hearing about really two issues, and I just will take a second to clarify them here. And one of the issues is why was frustration that there wasn't more opportunity given to talk about issues such as global warming and the overall context of oil production. And again, I want to emphasize that isn't a criteria in our permitting process, so that's why this wasn't the venue to talk about those issues and to debate those issues. Those venues exist in Washington, D.C., through the federal legislative process and in the North Dakota legislative process. That's where laws that are developed to regulate these industries are crafted, and that's the proper venue for those kinds of discussions. It isn't through the permitting process. And then secondly, some people were frustrated that it took so long to get to the public comment period. And I think all of us would say we agree. That's, again, how this process is set up. We could have interrupted in the middle of the day and taken public comment, but then you would have been putting off the discussion between the party, the intervener, who had taken the time and spent the money to be at the table, and kicked them back further in the process. And quite honestly, the tribe was really representing a lot of the issues that were later again represented by the members of the public, most of whom echoed what had been talked about by the tribe more formally through the through their interveners and their attorneys. So I think all in all, there was a very fair hearing about the issues that both the public brought up and the tribe brought up, many of which were consistent. And I thought that it was, nobody was cut off, and everybody who wanted to had a chance to speak. So I think all in all, it did what we always intend to do, which is have a fair hearing and a productive hearing and create a really, really thorough record. So with that, I don't have any other opening comments.
Thank you. Commissioner Christman.
I think you two have done a very excellent job of summarizing all that. I'll just, to add to that, though, just maybe two other points. It does get to be a dilemma to take testimony that late into the night and the people that have been sitting there all day are fatigued potentially. And so you, at what point do you cut it off and go into a second day? And it seemed that many in the crowd wanted to go late as opposed to coming back, because many of them had driven from west of the Missouri River and have to come all the way around through Bismarck. It's not like it was just across town and I'll come back in the morning. And so part of it was to accommodate that and not force them another long drive. The other thing, sometimes when you prepare for the worst, then the worst doesn't happen because you're prepared for it. And a lot of efforts were made to be prepared in case disruptions occurred. And a lot of that's a big expense to the sheriff's office in Emmons County and to the taxpayers of Emmons County. Emmons County could not have been more accommodating. I mean, the staff at the courthouse and everyone around there were just so nice. I just couldn't say enough about their hospitality, so kudos to them, too.
All right, thank you. We have 11 items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I have the first agenda item. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission Gladden Construction Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-18-420 and in Public Service Commission Gladden Construction Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-18-421.
Second.
On December 4th, 2018, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Xcel Energy alleging a violation by Gladden Construction of the North Dakota Century Code, Section 49-23-05, which is a part of the one-call law. The commission did send a letter to Gladden enclosing the one-call complaint. Gladden did respond to that complaint, and on December 4th as well, and that was in case number PU-18-420, and the same exact time frame, the commission received another one-call complaint from Xcel in case number PU-18-421. Again, a letter was sent on that case, and a response was received from the company on October 28th, 2019. A consent agreement between advocacy staff and Gladden was filed for the resolution of the North Dakota one-call complaint, the complaints in both cases. In the first case, 18-420, Xcel alleged a violation by Gladden for failure to conduct the excavation in a careful and prudent manner. A natural gas facility underground was hit. The damage on that was just over $2,700. That was a 6-inch main line. And then on the second complaint, that was a 1 1/8-inch line. The value of that damage was at $337. And in that case, one customer was affected. No customers were affected in the first instance. As a part of the settlement agreement, Gladden agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $2,400 in case number PU-18-420 and $1,000 in case number PU-18-421 for a total of $3,400. Gladden agrees to remit $2,400 of the $3,400, and then $1,000 will be suspended, providing that are on the condition that Gladden commits no further violations of North Dakota one-call law within 5 years of the date of the order. So this was related to street work that was occurring in, I believe, the Fargo area on this one. I know it is on the next one as well. But one thing about Gladden, a little different than the next case I'm going to talk about, or case numbers I will talk about, they didn't have any prior violations. So this would be a first-time offender. They were good to work with, according to advocacy staff, in terms of acknowledging and recognizing that they need to be more careful in their excavation in the future, and that ultimately is what we really want. The fines are certainly a part of the process, trying to serve as a to deter them from, you know, doing the same thing in the future. But ultimately, it's about keeping people safe. And I know I've repeated that before, but that is the highest priority in all of these.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-422, in public service commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-19-423, in public service commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-425, in Public Service Commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-426, in Public Service Commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-427, in Public Service Commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-428, and in Public Service Commission, Master Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-429.
Second.
So we have seven different cases that were all levied against Master Contracting. And these cases were all received on December 4th, 2018. And they were from XL Energy again, but now against Master Construction Incorporated. And I'm going to double check. Pat, I'm just noticing that we have Master Contracting Incorporated and then Master Construction Incorporated. Is that material? Do we need to look, fix that? Which one is it? On the motion, I just noticed it is listed as Master Contracting, and it's also listed, well, right, on the motion it says Master Contracting, on the order it says Master Construction. Okay. I just want to make sure we have the right business name.
Yeah, Master Contracting.
So, Master Contracting. Okay, I think I'm just seeing that is the only instance where that's the where it's misidentified. Two. Is it on page two as well?
Yeah. It's right under discussion.
That's Master Construction.
Should be Master Contracting.
Yeah. And the one you had noticed, correct, was in the preliminary statement? Is that where you spotted it, Brian?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, just so we have it correct for the record.
It is Master Contracting.
Okay.
Yeah, I think those are the only two.
Master Construction. Is it Master Construction? Okay.
Well, we can just edit the...
Okay.
Edit the file order.
Okay.
Because it's just in the...
So, just to note that this is not Master Contracting, it's Master Construction, and we will correct as necessary.
It must be on the case number... In the system, it must be wrong because it just gets pulled right in there. I think when they pull the case number, there's a name associated with it, and it must be listed as Master Contracting.
Okay.
So that's where it is started, mm-hmm. And it just
Steve, from a procedural standpoint, we can make that correction.
And we will make the correction as it is.
Continue on with the process.
Yes.
Here. Okay.
We'll put in what is registered with Secretary of State.
Okay. Well, I do apologize for stopping because now I'm trying to think of where exactly I was. So I'm just going to backtrack a little bit. I think I indicated this, but again, December 4th, we received the 7 North Dakota one-call complaints from Xcel Energy alleging the violations on January 2nd. The commission sent 7 letters to Master enclosing the one-call complaints in the cases on December 14th. Master did file a response addressing each North Dakota one-call complaint, and then on June 21st, Xcel filed a response as well in the cases, and a consent agreement was reached between advocacy staff and Master on October 10th, 2019. These were all 5/8-inch lines. They were the result of work that was done in the summer of 2018 in Fargo. They were public works projects. And in each instance, there was damage to facilities. And in each instance as well, the complaint is that Master failed to conduct excavation in a careful and prudent manner. So that's consistent on all 7 of them. And according to, or not according to, but as stated in North Dakota Century Code, to avoid damage and to minimize interference with interference with underground facilities, a ticket holder shall conduct the excavation in a careful and prudent manner. That's the exact language written in code. And obviously that wasn't the case because we had quite a number of hits here. Under the consent agreement, Master agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of that totals $10,000. None of the amount is suspended because they have had repeat our prior violations, so they are a repeat offender. Staff indicated that this is that they have violated the North Dakota One Call law at least twice prior to this series of line hits, potentially a third time, but they've had multiple violations. Going back to the one prior to this, there was a suspended amount that they were required to pay on that one, which was then would obviously indicate that they had a violation prior to that as well. So if you're paying a suspended amount, there was something that occurred even before that. And I would strongly encourage Master to work with the North Dakota One Call organization. They provide training and good counsel in terms of what you can and can't do. And obviously to understand that we're talking about safety. You can have damage, physical damage to property, but when you're hitting natural gas lines, it goes without saying that's a very dangerous situation. And when this is occurring over and over again, repeatedly, something isn't working on their end. They're not following up the way they need to with staff. I realize accidents can happen during the course of construction and excavation, but there's just far too many of these occurrences with this particular entity. And I hope it is the last order complaint that I see coming across our desks from Master, and that we don't see any more in the future. So, again, it boils down to, I mean, it all goes back to public safety. And we're not talking just the people that are out in the field doing the excavation. We're talking about homeowners, businesses, for example. Oftentimes, a line can be damaged. It may not even be noticed. And I shouldn't say oftentimes, but damage can occur. It may not be noticed. Then you can have a migration of gas. And when you have a migration of gas, it builds in a particular spot. And that's when explosions can potentially occur. So I hope they take this to heart. It in total is a $10,000 fine payable to the public, North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of an order being approved. So I'm clearly going to be voting to approve this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just point out regarding the earlier conflict on the name, the actual consent agreement that their safety supervisor signed is Master Construction. So that's correct. So I also am fine with just making the corrections after the motion, after we're wrapped up.
Correct. The order will be provided with the correct name on it.
One more thing, Mr. Chairman, if I might add. I was just at the NARUC meeting, National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, and I'm on the gas committee, and there's a lot of talk always about gas pipeline safety and just pipeline safety in general. And we had a session with PHMSA, and PHMSA emphasized again that the number one cause for leaks and accidents with natural gas lines is violations of the one call law, and they have contributed to some terrible explosions and accidents nationwide, even in the last year. And so we really have to enforce these laws seriously and strongly with the companies that are violating them. And I think in this case, the $10,000 fine hopefully gets their attention. This is a lot of different accidents that they could have seriously caused by their failure to do this in a proper way. So whether it's proper training or education or proper oversight on the job, whatever it is, these companies that are out there excavating have to be following the laws and the appropriate best practices. And it's a really, really serious issue, and we have to get these folks to pay attention to it. So I appreciate that Xcel forwarded these to us and that the company came forward, it seems like, in good faith, and hopefully they understand and will be following through with the proper training and oversight of their staff on the job.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, we're going to move to maybe a little different tone anyway on the next order. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing a Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2020 rates case number PU-19-329.
Second.
On September 26, 2019, NSP filed a request for approval of its 2020 renewable energy rider. In this filing, NSP would recover costs of six previously approved projects and two new projects that are expected to be in service in 2019. The 2020 renewable energy rate would be applied to all energy billed to each customer effective January 1st, 2020. As a result of the change, the residential electric customer, or I should say a residential electric customer consuming 750 kilowatts per month, they would see an increase of 73 cents a month. That charge is currently, I've got to do some quick math here, at 99 cents, so it would increase to $1.62 is what the company is requesting. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of NSP's tariff. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 3rd, 2020. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And the number here at the Public Service Commission is 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my final item. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2020 rates, case number PU-19-328.
Second.
Sorry,
Randy.
On September 27th, 2019, NSP, also known as XL Energy, filed its 2020 transmission cost recovery rider. The purpose of this rider is to recover costs from NSP's North Dakota electric customers for 48 previously approved transmission projects and 6 new transmission projects, as well as net expenses from the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator billings. This proposal would increase the TCR rate. Oh, boy, I don't even know if I want to give these numbers. Okay, so hang on. From 0.001914 per kilowatt hour to 0.002870 per kilowatt hour, in case anyone is tracking that. So the proposed 20... Okay. The proposed 2019 rate would be applied to all energy bill to each customer. As a result of the TCR change, a residential electric customer consuming 750 kilowatts per month would expect a 0.71 or 71 cent per month billing increase. The issues to be considered in this proceeding would be the same as before. And again, those interested on the application can comment in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 3rd, 2020. And again, if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And the number again, 701-328-2400, if you want to reach out and contact the Public Service Commission.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Ashtabula Wind LLC, Ashtabula Wind 1 LLC, transfer of quarter certificate and route permit, case number PU-19-345.
Second.
If it seems like we're always doing something with Ashtabula Wind and Ashtabula Wind 1, it's true. We are. This is the third meeting in a row that we've had something related to these cases on our agenda. On October 22nd, we did a notice of opportunity for hearing to transfer the site certificate for the wind farm. Last meeting, we had an order that was withdrawn, and there'll be a work session that was on the repowering of this facility or Ashtabula Wind facility. And this time, we're doing this is a transfer of the corridor and certificate and route permit for the transmission line associated with this project. So if anyone has issues regarding that, they can send them to us in writing or request a hearing on this matter, and those comments or requests for a hearing must be received by December 19th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's it for me, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation and North American Local LLC designated eligible carrier application case number PU-19-127.
Second.
On April 8th of this year, North American Local filed an application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier, and I'm going to say that a number of times, as ETC, for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. I just want to emphasize that, because the whole point of getting the ETC, then they get the universal service support. That's what they need in order to qualify for that. So the ETC is the big deal. The designation is also known as Lifeline-only ETC designation. North American proposes to provide Lifeline universal services to eligible low-income customers throughout every telephone exchange in North Dakota. Subsequent to that, on May 1st, this commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments or requests for hearing were received. Then on October 2nd, we held an informal hearing to discuss the issues with North American Local. Both federal law and state law give the commission the authority to designate a common carrier as an ETC in areas served by rural telephone companies. The commission must find that the ETC designation is in the public interest. North American, and there was a memo that went out with some incorrect statistics that made it, and made North American maybe seem like a larger company than what they are. And we noticed that this morning and corrected that memo. But I just wanted to be clear about that if in case you didn't see that update. So to be clear, North American generates revenue from non-Lifeline services and has access to capital from their investors. They currently provide prepaid wireless services to about 7,000 retail customers. And they're currently authorized as a wireless ETC in four other states. They have resale agreements with AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon, and will be using their networks as well as other carriers' networks to provide these wireless services in the state. Because North American does not seek support from the high-cost support mechanism, designation of North American as a Lifeline-only ETC will not create or contribute to an erosion of high-cost funding from any rural or non-rural telephone company that's already here. North American does not have an official telephone directory in North Dakota, and so they requested a waiver from our North Dakota requirement to have a directory. And we are authorized to waive that requirement under North Dakota administrative rules. And so in this order, that request would be granted. Based on information available, consumers eligible for the Lifeline discounts offered by North American will receive increased customer choice and the benefits of competition. So I think it does show that the ETC designation is, in fact, in the public interest. I wanted to point out one other thing, kind of aside from the direct application here. If this is approved, it will be the first of these Lifeline-only ETCs that we've approved, at least since we started something new a few years ago, and when we created kind of a North Dakota unique verifier. Some may recall when these Lifeline-only cellular plans were commonly known around the country as Obama phones, and there was a lot of accusations and, in my opinion, very verifiable situations of waste, fraud, and abuse in that program at the time, and there really wasn't much of anything being done about it. But North Dakota, I think we took the lead in the nation of trying to do something about that in requiring, from that point on, all these Lifeline-only ETCs to provide us with their customer list. And although Human Services would be unable to tell us information about their customers, it seemed they would be able to let us know whether companies had people on who did not qualify for any of the assistance programs that makes that customer qualified for the Lifeline cellular plan. So that worked partially. There are some technology issues with what we had developed, but it was something. Well, since that time, USAC, the Universal Service, I really can't remember what AC stands for, but they're the ones who keep an eye on these things. They have now developed a verifier program. And admittedly, there are some flaws in it yet that I think they're still ironing out. But I think in light of the technology issues that basically with their new technology, they're unable to do this anymore, what we had developed. So the new technology is unable to do what the old did. And so that's not going to work anyhow. But luckily, USAC is working on it. So this will be the first one that we do where we do not require them to turn over their customer lists. We've got a couple other applications to change theirs, to suspend that requirement. This is only addressing this one, but I think it probably starts something that appropriately will relinquish other companies of that requirement if they've been at least operating in good faith here. So I wanted to point that out. In this case, under this order, North American would not be required to turn in the customer lists to us.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
One more summarizing comment. I do think that with what we had to work with, North Dakota did a great service to the industry to make that effort to eliminate the waste, fraud, and abuse that was going on in that program.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. In terms of announcements, we have an informal hearing today at 1:30 for case number PU-13-840. That is MDU and Otter Tail Power Company, a 345 kV transmission line in Dickey County. That is a siting application. And then also case number PU-19-298. That's Otter Tail Power Company, and that is related to a transmission segment and three substations, and that is a PCNN. So one's a siting application, the other's a public convenience and necessity case. On Tuesday, November 26th at 10 a.m., we have a work session on Ashtabula Wind. That's PU-19-284, and then also we have our next commission meeting, our regular commission meeting, on Tuesday, December 3rd at 10 a.m. here on the 12th floor at the State Capitol. So that concludes the announcements. We'll now take a brief recess, take questions from the press, and then reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. So we are in recess.
I'd like to start with the last item. Were there any documented cases of fraud and abuse in North Dakota? Just curious.
I think that once we started doing that, I don't think we ever caught anyone then. But I will say that